Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
And distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back here to the Audio Stash today on Friday, February 8th, 2008. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us here at Normal. Help us end marijuana prohibition in America. You can make a big difference right now. Just visit norml.org, that's normal.org, to make your donation or join Normal today. Folks, we have a big announcement to make here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash on Monday, February 11th. We'll start with a new host here on the program. Radical Russ Belleville of Portland, Oregon will be your new daily host here on the program. Russ will also produce Normal News and help us out with the Normal Events podcast as well. Russ is an experienced radio personality. He's on the board of directors at Oregon Normal, and he's got his own XM satellite radio program. I know he's going to do a great job, and y'all are going to have a lot of fun together. So my last show today, I got a great mix of content here. We're going to hear a speech that Paul Armentano, Normal's deputy director, gave at the Drug Policy Alliance 2007 conference this past December in New Orleans. Also today, our regular Friday segment with Steve Bloom and our CelebStoner.com update. We'll have some comedy from the Pot's Greatest Hits CD-DVD combo and a nice little mix of music for your Friday stash. I do want to take a moment to thank each and every one of you who have downloaded an episode of Normal's Daily Audio Stash or the Normal News Podcast, or has tuned in to many of the radio stations that have carried our segments. But to all of you who have been faithful listeners here every day to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, I want to thank you very much for all of your interaction, for listening, and for getting active in this really the most important social justice issue of our time, in ending marijuana prohibition. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for your support. Coming up next, we've got Paul Armentano's speech at the Drug Policy Alliance Conference. Armentano is Normal's deputy director. You can find his publications all around the internet, all around the country, and his white papers are up at normal.org, such as Emerging Clinical Applications for Cannabis and Cannabinoids. Paul spoke at the Drug Policy Alliance 2007 conference in December. Here's that speech now.
I really appreciate everyone for coming, and I really appreciate DPA for putting on what so far has just been a terrific conference, and I think everybody here would agree with me on that. You know, I've been working on this issue of drug policy reform now for almost 14 years, and, you know, I'd be the first to admit that over this period of time, we've certainly had quite a few successes, but, you know, I think even the most enthusiastic of us must admit that we're often falling still well short of our overarching goals. And specifically, when we're referring to marijuana law reform, we're talking about eliminating the arrests of adults who use marijuana and establishing a system of legal access for adults who wish to use marijuana. So when I had a couple hours this afternoon at the last minute to try and formulate my talk today, I did a little bit of self-reflection on what some of these hurdles are that we have been facing, both hurdles in public perception and also political hurdles that are impeding us from reaching our overall goals. And I'm going to try in the next few minutes to identify what I believe some of these hurdles are and try and offer some suggested solutions to overcoming some of these impediments. You know, despite several decades of campaigning for some of us to establish a taxed and regulated system for adult cannabis use, such a market does not exist anywhere in the United States. You know, I acknowledge some of my friends in California where there may be beginning to be some aspect of an above-ground regulated market, but certainly nowhere else in the United States does one exist. And really, more importantly, a majority of Americans have not expressed that they support such a tax and regulated market in any opinion poll. In fact, they never have historically. There's a number of polls we could look at. A Gallup every year asks Americans if they think marijuana should be legalized, and at best you get around 36-39%. As you know, everyone here knows, MPP in Nevada has twice ran a ballot initiative asking this question, and the last time they ran it, 44% of the public of that state said they did agree with the concept of taxing and regulating marijuana, but yet still not 50%. When Normal most recently commissioned Zogby to ask the question, do you support amending federal law to let states legally regulate and tax marijuana the way states already tax and regulate liquor and gambling? 46% of those who answered the poll said they did support that. I'm pleased to say we had majority support, and the first time I'm aware of majority support for such a question, on both the East Coast and the West Coast. But overall, we are still shy of 50%. You know, as a result, then, over these last few decades, when we've been having and enacting reforms, essentially we're talking about two specific types of reform. We're talking about medicalization, and as you know, we are now 13 states, and about one-fifth, almost to a quarter of the country now lives in states where qualified adults can use marijuana with a doctor's recommendation, and that's not a violation of state law. And we're also talking about decriminalization, this idea of, in certain circumstances, eliminating the threat of incarceration for adults who possess small amounts of marijuana. But if we're going to move beyond those two concepts and talk about broader reform, we really need to identify the core arguments that hold back a majority of Americans from supporting this idea of a tax and regulated market for marijuana. And just one quick aside I want to say on this. When you ask Americans if they support the existing system, overwhelmingly, in some polls, more than 80% of Americans say they don't support the current system of marijuana prohibition. Yet when they're asked if they would then support legal access to marijuana, they don't support that. So we have this ambivalence among the public. And what I think we need to recognize is maybe we need to stop spending so many of our educational efforts criticizing the existing system. Americans get that. They know it sucks. But we need to then do a better job educating Americans to the alternatives. And I think to do that, we have to identify certain concerns that the public has and certain political concerns that are holding us back. So I've identified four of these concerns, political impediments that I call them, that are inhibiting us from gaining the progress we'd like to get on broader marijuana law reform. The first hurdle that I see is media complacency, which probably doesn't surprise many of you that follow this issue. Mainstream media coverage of the marijuana issue is typically inaccurate. It's rarely critical of the existing policy. And news reporters the news reporters generally give greater credence to government officials who are endorsing the existing policy and critical of any change. The other big issue that I see with the mainstream media is they typically lack any sort of institutional memory when they talk or write about marijuana. Every marijuana-related story in the media is written as if it's in some bubble, and this has never been covered before. No state's ever enacted medical marijuana reform before. Nobody's ever decriminalized. God knows in Europe they certainly couldn't have possibly done anything different than America's ever done. And that needs to change. The writers, when writing about marijuana law reform, need to acknowledge what's going on elsewhere. They need to acknowledge the history of this issue, and we need to do a better job educating the media to have this sort of institutional memory. I think we need to do a better job courting the media, proactively courting the media. I think we as a movement need to do a better job speaking with one voice and not sending mixed messages to the media. And I think we need to do a better job sometimes selecting who we're choosing to interact with the media. We need to have very strong messengers. The second hurdle that I see politically for us, and it's been acknowledged already at this conference, is law enforcement opposition. The law enforcement community is an incredibly effective and persuasive lobby group, and they hold tremendous sway with politicians. Substantive legislative reform remains unlikely as long as this constituency continues to lobby against our efforts. There was a terrific panel, and I hope some of you people saw it yesterday, that was talking about how we can better engage law enforcement in supporting our issue. And there was some terrific presentations given about how on one-on-one interactions with law enforcement, we can help change their opposition. Certainly, LEAP is making great efforts in this area, but my one concern is so many of the speakers for LEAP are retired law enforcement officers. We need to have active law enforcement officers. We need to be changing this opposition from within the law enforcement community, because until we do, let me tell you, we can have all the public support we want, we can even have political support, but when law enforcement walks into that legislature and when they're donned in their uniform with their badge and their gun, we lose our support. We lose it like that. A third political hurdle that I want to talk a little bit about is something I call the demographic paradox. We hear a lot about how drug enforcement, and sometimes specifically marijuana enforcement, can disproportionately impact minorities. What we don't hear is that marijuana law enforcement disproportionately impacts young people. We did some research on this. We found that 74% of everyone arrested for marijuana in this country is under age 30, and 25% of everyone arrested for marijuana infractions in this country is actually under age 18. Right now, we have a system where the subpopulation in America that's most grossly and adversely affected by the policy is the same population that has the least political voice. They don't have the finances to support this movement. They don't have the political clout to go to their legislatures and support this movement the way that groups that are least adversely affected by the policy do. So my suggestion to harness the power of the group that, in my opinion, is most adversely and disproportionately affected by the current enforcement and the law is to go after their parents and to stress to their parents that, in fact, changing these policies helps their kids. The poll I talked about earlier where Normal got 46%, I hate to admit it, but among the age 30 to 49 age group, we did the worst. 58% of people that age said they did not support our issue, and those that were parents, they cited the reason of having children as one of the reasons why. So in my opinion, we kill two birds with one stone. We impact the group most disproportionately affected by the law, and we change the opinion of the demographic in America that right now is most opposed to marijuana law reform. The final hurdle I want to talk about is I think this movement in many ways lacks a public face. While there are countless victims of marijuana laws, there's very few true poster children for the marijuana reform movement. Without such victims in the public eye, most Americans are unlikely to be persuaded that the existing system requires amending or replacing. I think the medical marijuana movement has done a good job or a better job giving a public face to the victims of the current marijuana law policy, but we need to do a much better job. When I saw how quickly certain communities gravitated toward the Jenna 6 controversy just a few months ago, I want to see our movement have a national face like that. When people talk about immigration reform, a few years ago there was a very famous picture of Elian Gonzalez being taken away at gunpoint and sent back to Cuba. That photo was everywhere. He was the public face of that issue for months. We need to have a public face like that. Finally, because I know my time is short, I do want to talk just briefly about what some of the concerns are among the public that are keeping us or holding us back from getting the majority support that I think we need to have to win this issue from the public. There's really three concerns that when you ask Americans why they don't support this issue that come up over and over again, and I think we need to address them better as a movement. The first is this concern that regulating cannabis will increase teen use and teen access. I thought it was really interesting that yesterday's speaker talked so much about drug control policy and that the UN drug policies were all about control. He has a very different opinion or definition of control than I do, because the way I see the marijuana market and drugs overall right now is that there is no control. It's unregulated, it's underground, it's clandestine. In fact, it's drug anarchy. And we need to tell parents that regulating the system will bring it back under control. Ethan's telling me that I'm out of time, so I'm just going to tell you the final two concerns. One is the public says that by taxing and regulating marijuana, it might send a message that marijuana is okay. I actually think marijuana is okay. So I think what we need to do is actually enhance the image of marijuana to address that issue. And then finally, the public tells us time and time again that they're concerned about increases in the use of marijuana leading to increases in incidences of drug driving. I'll have a paper coming out on how to address this issue in the next few weeks. So rather than take any more time, I will encourage people to go to our website and read that paper addressing how to respond to yet again what I think is a very strong public concern and one we need to overcome if we're going to move forward and get where we want to be. Thank you for your time.
That was Normal's deputy director speaking at the Drug Policy Alliance 2007 conference in New Orleans this past December. Full links to more audio from the Drug Policy Alliance conference and the rest of the panel that Paul was speaking on are available at DPA's website. We have direct links at normalaudio-.com. Stay tuned, our CelebStoner.com update is coming up next.
I want to be famous, I want to wear minks and satins and pearls.
Steve Bloom joins us each Friday here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash in a segment that will continue on as Russ Belville hosts the show for our CelebStoner.com update. We spoke with Steve earlier today.
There were a lot of headlines we missed out on because we didn't get a chance to talk last week, especially with what happened in presidential politics with Barack Obama. CelebStoner.com came out in favor of Barack Obama. I was kind of surprised by that, Steve, because you were a big Hillary Clinton fan.
Well, you're telling my secrets now, aren't you? Well, I jumped aboard the bandwagon, you know, and certainly using the website to promote Obama. I mean, things sort of changed in the last, 3 months or so between Hillary and Barack, as far as I'm concerned. First of all, when Barack won Iowa, I was very impressed, and his speech was just amazing. That was the beginning of the inspirational speeches, to really get more and more people kind of caught up in his cause. And I did get caught up by that speech. Hillary wins New Hampshire and she reads her speech from cards, and it just doesn't feel genuine, whereas that's what a politician would normally do. But, Obama's an orator and he will just, stand out there and talk to you as long as you'll stand there and listen. So I was very impressed by that. But it was really the drug issue that, turned me around on the question of Obama versus Clinton, not the war issue. Obama has, made some statements. More recently was his sort of famous statement that when he was a kid, I inhaled, that was the point, or I inhaled frequently, that was the point, as a jab at, Bill Clinton. So obviously that's a terrific statement, because here's, you know, a presidential candidate, a major presidential candidate who's admitting his marijuana use, and sort of gladly. And also, of course, he's written about it in his book, and a lot has been made of the fact that he's admitted his marijuana and cocaine use. He'd written about that in his book a few years ago. So there's pretty much public record. Then comes along, well, okay, I'll do it chronologically. You know, with all this information out there about Obama's, you know, previous drug use, the Clinton campaign started to go after, you know, Obama over that.
Sure, the guy up in New Hampshire.
Yeah,
Bill
Shaheen in New Hampshire,
yeah,
who made the point about, you know, be bad for, you know, the Democrats if Obama wins because of his past, the drug use, who knows if he sold it, and blah, 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 it's going to be bad. The Republicans will really take advantage of it. Hillary reprimanded this guy and took him off the case up in New Hampshire, but, you know, the damage was already done. Then Bob Johnson, the head of BET Network, did his kind of a rah-rah speech in behalf of Clinton recently, and he is African-American, and he took a shot at Obama as well, saying that, you know, the business about what Obama was doing in the neighborhood back in the day, kind of hint, hint, you know, that he was doing drugs. And so I don't like all those sort of taunts and barbs going at Obama over the drug issue. And then, of course, last week was the video that broke that the Washington Times published. The video of Obama speaking before students at Northwestern University back in 2004, saying that the drug war was an utter failure and that the marijuana laws should be decriminalized, although he doesn't favor legalization. So, you know, then there's been a lot of controversy around that since that broke, because, you know, everybody's looking very closely at how Obama's reacting to that in his campaign. His campaign did not react that positively to that coming out. I mean, obviously, it was kind of Washington Times going after Obama, their conservative paper, and looking to, you know, make him look bad on the drug issue. But, you know, conversely, I think it makes him look great on the drug issue to our people out there, the marijuana smokers who want to see laws changed. And so here's, you know, Obama back in 2004 very strongly stating, you know, without hesitating, that, you know, he thinks, you know, the marijuana law should be decriminalized. And, you know, the people look back to the debate, the sort of famous debate when Tim Russert asked all the candidates, you know, who of you, you know, thinks marijuana should be decriminalized? And, you know, hands went up, you know, and Obama's hand kind of very hesitantly went up about halfway. It was very interesting to read the body language that day. So I just think, you know, a lot of people out there think, you know, that they don't believe the hype about Obama. I've been hearing from some of the Ron Paul people and, you know, just generally saying, hey, he's not, you know, the stoner candidate like Pleb Stoner is making him out to be. But I really think he is, because here's somebody who did all these things, has already gone on record in favoring decriminalization. What he will do about it, of course, is another thing. And whether he'll make this a front and center issue during the campaign, it was probably unlikely. I mean, you know, you don't want to get in the middle of a big drug debate. But once you get elected, it's the question of what do you do? He's also said that he would stop the raids on the DA raids on the medical clubs in California. So he's on the right side of the issue. So, you know, here's the point. The point is that he is the first major presidential candidate in 32 years to endorse decriminalizing marijuana. First one since Jimmy Carter. Carter did it in 77 or 76 when he was running. He didn't succeed in his goal. He was kind of thwarted once he was in office. Some things happened. You know, there's a long normal story that's connected to all of that.
Hold on, Steve, because I'll be honest with you. You know, I spoke to a guy. His name is Robert Creamer. He's a Democratic political strategist. He's husband to Congressman Jan Schakowsky from Illinois. And believe me, he's a big Obama supporter, and he had to give fair disclosure before our public radio interview. And when I posed to him the question of whether Obama really had the ability to do things like end the war, like, you know, the campaign stump and things like that, he deferred, and that was very telling to me. You know, my question is, you know, sure, all these videos have surfaced, and that, you know, his campaign comes out and issues a statement saying, well, he didn't really mean to raise his hand in that Philadelphia debate on that decrim question, but we have not seen Barack Obama, you know, hold a press conference and say, you know what, I want to clear the air on this issue. I am for decriminalizing marijuana. We haven't seen that yet, Steve.
I don't think it's a wise move. I really don't think he needs to do that. He's on record, and to me that's what's most important. What he'll do about it is another thing. If he's flip-flopping, we'll find out. People think he's already flip-flopped, that they've kind of, you know, stepped away from that statement. But, you know, come on, look at the political climate out there. No matter what you or I would like to believe, you know, it's not the right time to go out there and wave the marijuana flag, you know, in the middle of a very, very close race. But let's go beneath the surface a little bit and look at who this guy is, what he's done, and what you may believe he stands for. You know, you're going to have to hope that if he gets into office, he's going to make some changes that are going to be beneficial to marijuana smokers, whereas I don't think Hillary Clinton will make those changes. It's not something that's important to her, whereas it appears that it is to some degree important to Obama, but he's going to have to be extremely careful on how he handles this issue. Now, what's going to happen next? I mean, is he going to be asked questions in interviews? It'll probably pop up. Maybe he'll do an interview with, you know, Tim Russert or something, a one-on-one, and Russert will say, hey, I saw that, you know, Washington Times video, you know, can you tell us a little bit more about your stance on decriminalizing marijuana? Maybe we'll find out some more. And maybe then he'll go, well, listen, that was a mistake. I don't mean it. And it was a bad thing for me to say back then. Then we know that he's, you know, two-faced and a flip-flopper, but he hasn't done that yet. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt until that happens.
You were also breaking a number of stories, Steve, reporting on a lot of information you dug up about Hillary Clinton's pot smoking past.
Well, yeah, did a little work on that. I mean, there's, you know, some reports going back to when she was in college, when she went to Wellesley back in the late 60s, during the anti-war movement, which she was involved in, like so many of the people where I was myself back then. And she was at the she was at one of the anti-war rallies, and she was with a boyfriend at the time who says that they were inhaling, and you could, you know, in his case, you can read between the lines of what I'm trying to say without saying, yes, Hillary Clinton took a joint to her mouth and smoked it. He wasn't directly saying that, but he was kind of like saying, hey, listen, you know, the time, the place, the era, this is what everybody was doing, you know, and so was she. But, you know, the thing is that she's never admitted it, she's never addressed it, she's never been directly asked it. And, you know, the great question, you know, for Hillary, you know, in our circles is, did you inhale? And we don't really know. And then there was that kind of like joke that went out on the Bill Maher show just a few days before. You know, we did the two items at Celeb Stoner, both about Hillary inhaling. One was, you know, the story about, you know, back at Wellesley. The other was the story that Merle Haggard.
I saw that. That was a great story because, you know, he was down there at the Austin Freedom Fest as well.
Austin, you know, Merle's a very good friend of Willie Nelson's. The story, very quickly, for anybody who didn't see it or didn't watch the Bill Maher show 2 weeks ago, he had Merle on for a short satellite, you know, interview. And, you know, talk to him in general about some things. And then Maher zeroed in, and he says, you know that song of yours, the Okie from Muskogee, with that opening line, we don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. And he says, do you still stand by that? Is that how you feel about the marijuana issue? And then Merle basically kind of had this very deadpan look, and he says, well, I don't get back to Muskogee too often these days. Hint, hint that, you know, well, where we didn't smoke is not where I go anymore. And then Maher kind of dives into it and says, well, you know, I doubt Willie Nelson goes to Muskogee either, you know. And then Merle goes, well, you cannot find Willie Nelson in Muskogee, you know. It's all kind of like very deadpan, with Merle kind of like looking, you know, at the camera with a little bit of a smile and a gleam in his eye. But then, you know, Maher goes, well, come on, you're friends with Willie Nelson. You must have been around marijuana. And he goes, yeah, I've been around marijuana. He says, matter of fact, Hillary was on the bus. And he tells this story very quickly about Hillary Clinton went on Willie Nelson's bus when Merle was there, and he said she took a big whiff and she must have inhaled. Kind of a joke, but, you know, hint, hint here. Hillary Clinton is on Willie Nelson's bus. What is she doing on that bus? Anybody who knows anything about Willie Nelson knows that you're going to smell some marijuana on that bus. There's no way you could clean the stench fast enough for a Hillary Clinton visit, you know. And so there's smoke billowing around in the bus. When Hillary shows up, you know, she obviously takes a whiff because it's just in the air, and then she inhaled secondhand smoke, which I think was what his joke was. And then Maher's, you know, his just mouth just went open, you know, like, oh my God. And then Merle laughed because it was like this deadpan and then a big smile, a laugh, and then, you know, Maher said, thanks a lot, Merle, and they cut him off. So it was a very funny little bit, but, you know, I had a little insight into that because when this happened, I am almost positive, let's say 95% positive, that this happened last year in Austin, Texas, on March 15th or 16th, which was the same day of the High Times party, which I was producing that year, the Doobie Awards. We were giving an award to Willie Nelson, like a lifetime achievement. We knew he was in town, and we tried to get him to the event. Last-minute stuff, you know, was making it kind of difficult. Willie was in town to do a press conference at the Four Seasons Hotel to to announce a new record label he was starting. So we're hoping that after the press conference, he would swing over to our party, we'd give him the award, and it would obviously be a huge coup to get Willie there. We worked really hard to make this happen. Well, it turned out there was Willie never showed up. So, you know, a little disappointed. We never gave anybody the award. We ended up sending them the award, so they got their trophy. But I found out afterwards, no, but what I found out afterwards that somebody I know who's in the Willie Nelson camp tells me that, hey, you know, I was here, that he had come over to the party later on. He didn't tell me that day. He told me months afterward in conversation. He says, oh, by the way, you know why Willie Nelson never came to your party? And I said, you know why? He says, because Hillary Clinton showed up that day right after that press conference. She calls people. There must be some sort of phone call that was directed to Willie's people saying Hillary wants to stop by and visit the bus. She shows up in front of the Four Seasons with a battalion of Secret Service. Everybody more or less clears out of the bus except for Merle and probably a few other people. Hillary goes on the bus, has her little powwow with Willie. Presumably she didn't directly smoke, but there she was on the bus. So, you know, I mean, again, Hillary doesn't want to play it like she's too hip, you know. She wants to be in the middle, just like Bill. So she's not going to say things like, hey, I'm friends with Willie Nelson, and by the way, hint, hint, I was on the bus. It's not something she's going to brag about. But I believe that's when all that happened. And so she was around at least that secondhand smoke. And let's face it, I'm sure she was smoking back in the day, like a lot of people did in the 60s and 70s, and just has never admitted it. But it's not something that she's going to, you know, take a stand on in her campaign. Yeah, if somebody asks Hillary Clinton, what do you think of the drug war? Who knows? Maybe she might say some things like, I don't like the way it's running. I think we have to reassess it. We have to do some new things. Most likely that would be the Democratic liberal thing to say. But does she want to take it down? Does she want to dismantle it? Does she want to put the DEA out of business like Al Gore proposed, you know, and that was turned down? You know, so I doubt it. I really think she's too centrist for that, you know, and she's probably too much in the pocket of pharmaceutical industry and funding and things like that, which I can't prove, but I bet she's getting money, you know, from the pharmaceutical industry, you know, for, you know, campaign donations and all that kind of stuff. So I would doubt that she would make a big, you know, attempt to do something drastic about the drug war. But I think, you know, I see Obama as to the left of Hillary. So, you know, that's our best choice. He's obviously anti-war. Hillary's taken a stance against the war now, but it's a little late for her, you know, since she voted for the war. And I see Obama as on our side when it comes to the marijuana issue and going against the drug war. And I just can only hope that if he does get into office, you know, during his time, at least his first term, he'll make some sort of progress in that direction to redirect the, you know, the country's, you know, energies away from, you know, incarceration and arrests and negativity around drugs and more towards prevention and education and, you know, stop putting people in jail.
Well, one would hope, and very much in the words of Froma Harrop, who was here on the audio stash talking about Obama's possibility as a candidate who can do something on this issue, one can only hope that he could be able to enact some change, because his background in social justice certainly would encourage you to think that he would. Also, too, I just got such a tickle out of that Hillary Clinton story. Having been on Willie Nelson's bus down in Austin, Texas myself over the summer there at the Austin Freedom Fest, it was when I went and watched that episode with Bill Maher just to see that whole Merle Haggard thing. And frankly, it was just hard for me to picture the Secret Service and Hillary Clinton on Willie's bus. But, you know, if
probably the Secret Service was outside. You know? I doubt they were inside, you know, because then they probably would have had to do their, like, job of, like, imagine carting Willie Nelson away the day that Hillary goes on the bus, like, I didn't know they smoked so much pot on this bus. Hillary, what planet are you living on?
Well, very, very funny. Very good stuff, Steve. And, you know, also, in another note, you know, a singer I'm really a big fan of, Amy Winehouse, was denied her visa to perform at the Grammys. Really a terrible thing in many ways, but that stemmed from her pleading guilty and paying a fine for a marijuana possession arrest, of all things.
They might have, you know, that might be the best thing in a sense, because she's been so bad on stage lately that, you know, if they had her perform there, it could probably take down the show. I mean, they'll get a lot of publicity for her poor performance, but, you know, it's too bad. I mean, you know, she's had a great year, but she's had a bad year. She had a great year musically, a bad year kind of personally. She's paraded her abuse and kind of, let's just say, misuse of drugs and alcohol, you know, for everybody to see. And, you know, I guess even, you know, the U.S., where they tend to let people in even for a short stay and then send them back, you know, I think, you know, they just don't like, you know, her antics. And so they decide to throw the book at her. And she does have a marijuana charge on her, you know, and they've kept, you know, people out of the country when they have, you know, foreign charges on their record for marijuana. She was arrested with her husband in Norway a few months ago, and she's sort of fighting that because she, you know, she basically pled guilty and she didn't really understand the language of stuff that she was signing because it was a foreign language. And they're trying to fight that, but they haven't won that. And then this is on the heels of the video that came out of her smoking crack. So it just didn't do very much for her cause to have that video come out just while she was, you know, appealing, you know, the American embassy to get, you know, passage to the U.S. So what they're going to do instead is she's going to do a satellite performance. So she'll be, you know, in England performing on some soundstage somewhere, and they'll feed it back, you know, to the Grammys. Honestly, who knows what's going to happen to the Grammys on Sunday night, because, you know, it's a, you know, the writer's strike is still going on, and, you know, I think they're planning to move ahead with the Grammys as, you know, as if nothing has happened. But, you know, the Golden Globe Awards did not happen. The SAG Awards did happen recently because they had support of the writers, I think, to some degree, but who knows what the Grammys are going to be. But Amy Winehouse is up for 6 awards, and, you know, she probably will win a few. I mean, she's up for the Best New Artist. She'll probably win that. It's probably a toss-up between Rehab and Umbrella for the Best Song of the Year. And, you know, Rehab sort of is more, you know, meaningful in terms of the number of people who've gone into Rehab this year, especially celebrities. But Umbrella was, you know, kind of more of a general pop hit, you know, which I have a feeling, you know, Rihanna might win for.
Oh, Steve, you're so right. If there ever was a song that defined the year 2007 into 2008, it is Amy Winehouse's Rehab, man.
Rehab just keeps continuing. I mean, yesterday,
so
the Rehab news is hard to keep up with. I mean,
yeah.
Kirsten Dunst went into a rehab facility yesterday, the same place where Lindsay Lohan had been in Utah. Apparently, Kirsten Dunst, who we like a celeb stoner because, you know, her comments about marijuana last year, where she said, you know, everybody should smoke marijuana, it's the best thing, and she's friends with Sasha Sagan, the daughter of Carl Sagan, and, of course, Carl Sagan was a marijuana advocate, and she said some really nice, you know, things about marijuana that kind of led us to believe that she's really, you know, one of, you know, those stoner starlets on our side. But apparently she's been partying a little too hard, and I'm not sure what the level of partying is, although there's a little kind of joke going around that people call her by the last name Kirsten Drunkst. So she may drink a little too much, you know.
Now, well, terrible.
I kind of hinted that, you know, she's from New Jersey, and I hinted maybe with the Giants winning. She was at the Sundance Festival, and partied her, you know, pretty hard throughout the Sundance Festival in Utah recently, last couple of weeks. And then the Giants win, and who knows, I don't know if she's a Giant fan, but maybe she is. And maybe she got very excited about their victory and partied a little bit more on Sunday. Because, interestingly, you know, she goes in Dakota, like, dry out, you know, just in the last couple of days. So it's on the heels of the Sundance Festival, on the Super Bowl victory. Who knows? But, yeah, she's a party girl. She likes to party around. I saw her at South by Southwest last year. She was running around a concert, and, you know, she was at a show with a boyfriend, the rock band boyfriend that she had at the time. And, you know, so she's been known, you know, to like to party. But the degree of why she's in there, is she in there for alcohol? Is she in there for multiple, you know, like abuse problems?
Steve,
it's kind of unclear.
With all this rehab stuff, is rehab? The rehabilitation is it's more like rest stop. I wish they would call it rest stop instead of rehab, because that's basically what it is. I mean, it's like everybody parties hard. They get to this point where it's like, oh, man, I can't take it anymore. They check themselves into rehab. They fix up their bodies. They're kind of recharged to go out and party again and
well,
come back.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, in her case, I'm trying to find out more. There's not a lot of information out there yet about why she's in there, what led to it. But I read one thing today that she kind of, you know, was sort of forced into it, and she doesn't really want to be there, and she's very unhappy. So it's almost like the Britney situation, where they've been forcing her into the hospital when she doesn't want to be there. And, you know, she's caught in a huge struggle between, you know, her family, her, you know, representatives, you know, her...
Hold on. The Associated Press is covering Britney Spears, and we are not. I have a ban on talking
ban
about
on
Britney.
All right.
I am not talking about Britney Spears
all right,
at all.
Well, but I'm saying forced hospitalization is sort of what might be happening with Kirsten Dunst, where she's been forced into this because people around her, more or less the intervention model of, like, you know, you force somebody in because they don't know better. So I think they're doing that to Kirsten Dunst a little bit, too. She may be in there against her will. That's a problem with rehab. When you go in, you know, because you know you have a problem, one thing, when you're forced in there when you don't either think you have a problem or other people around you think you have a problem, that's another thing. You know, that's, you know, against your will. Another person, by the way, just went into rehab is Scott Whelan. from the Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, now,
the
again,
Revolver.
You cannot
one more
say
time.
Rehab.
It,
you cannot say rehab for that. That is rest
Believe it
up.
Or not. Well,
rest
believe
up.
It or not, you know,
no.
he had a DUI back in November. You know, people probably know that he's had, you know, kind of long-term drug problems, heroin addiction problem.
No.
You know, everybody knows. And, but, you know, supposedly cleaned up his act a little bit, you know, during this period with Velvet Revolver, but a DUI in November, and now, you know, he checks into rehab yesterday, and they have to cancel, you know, the next kind of leg of the Velvet Revolver tour. You know, not a huge surprise, but, and then also Eva Mendes went through, just came out of that rehab facility that Kirsten Dunst went into, so that was supposedly for alcohol as well. So, yes, it is a revolving door, and you can make fun of it all you want, you know, that, you know, it's sort of a joke that, you know, everybody thinks that's the easiest solution. You go in there, you clean up your act, you know, and your system for about a month, and you're going to be all better. And, you know, most, I mean, looks like Lindsay Lohan's doing a little bit better, though. You know, is she banned from your show, too?
No, Lindsay is not banned. Lindsay is welcome on Normal's Daily Audio Stash and my public
right.
radio program anytime she wants. But I'll tell
all
you
right.
what, the B word will not cross my lips anymore.
What about the P word, Paris? We've talked about her all the time. She's got a movie that just opened today called The Hottie and the Naughty.
Yeah.
It's supposed to. I've read already. It's supposed to be one of the worst movies ever. Could you imagine? It's about her and her girlfriend who's ugly, and she has to basically, you know, help her ugly girlfriend, you know, make it with guys. So it's kind of, you know.
I'm sorry, is this part of her parole or something like that, Steve? I mean,
you would never know that girl was in jail last year considering what she's been doing since.
Oh,
you know,
man.
She basically, you know, she just got out of there and just hasn't, like, stopped since. She's been partying nonstop, going to clubs, doing all her stuff, doing her little karaoke bits, you know, wherever, and now she's in a movie, which, I don't know, I'm tempted to see just because, you know, just to see if it's really as bad as imagined, which I can figure. I mean, she's not an actress, but who knows? To see her on screen for an hour and a half must be kind of,
well,
you know, a little frightening.
Steve, I'll let you take one for the team and do the review of that one, man.
Okay. I don't know. I haven't heard yet whether there's any marijuana use in the movie. That would be funny. You know, Paris is like, you know, sitting there puffing. She can do it because it's a movie versus, you know, in real life, you know, like being open about her marijuana use, even though we know she's a pot smoker. But
well,
I haven't heard that there's any pot smoking in the movie. Talking about pot smoking in movies, Strange Wilderness, the movie that's out right now, from the same camp of people, Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Happy Madison Camp, Alan Covert, who did Grandma's Boy. It's, you know, this is the latest stoner movie to come out, and I have to honestly tell people it's horrendous. And I really wanted to like it, but it's very slapdash, poorly put together, badly written. You know, it's almost like all these guys, like, why are we here? Jonah Hill's in it. I mean, it's a great little collection of stoner characters all in one place, but it's just sort of a bad movie. Had terrible reviews. I wish I could have said, hey, I disagree with all the negative reviews, but, I mean, each and every negative review is pretty accurate. It's a bad movie, and although, you know, there is some pot smoking and some bong hitting, Justin Long, by the way, has been dating Drew Barrymore these days. He's the bong-toking stoner in the movie, but he plays it, you know, as dopey as you can imagine. And Steve Zahn, who's like the main character in the movie, he smokes a little pot too. But it's just not a good movie. I wish it was better.
It's like a warning, man. It's like, don't take the brown acid and don't see Strange Wilderness.
It is a warning. I mean, I think, some, you know, go see it if you feel like it, but don't blame me, you know, if you feel like you were a little ripped off and you're like, you want your $12 back.
Better spend it on... Better spend on some swag, I guess.
Spend it on a grandma pot.
Well, with that due process of public service announcements to warn stoners of arriving at a bad movie over the weekend, man, I really appreciate all the work that we've done here on these Friday segments, Steve. Russ Belville is going to pick up on Monday of next week. I know you guys are going to have a lot of fun with these celebstoner.com updates, but I wanted to thank you for all the contributions you've made here to the Audio Stash.
Well, Chris, you know, same goes, you know, it's feelings mutual, as you know, mutual admiration society between you and me, and honestly, you know, it's great to get to know you during this time while you've done the show. You did an amazing job. I'm sorry you're leaving, but I know you have your good reasons, and I hope you get back involved with the community sometime soon.
That was Steve Bloom in our regular Friday conversation, an update from celebstoner.com. Steve will continue these segments with Russ Belville as we move forward here in Normal's Daily Audio Stash, as will Mitch Earlywine in our Wednesday segment. Stay tuned. We got some comedy and music coming up next.
Pearls. I want to be famous more than just any old girl. I want to have eyes as blue as the the sea. I want all the people to look at me. I want my own show on TV. I want to be that girl. I want to be famous. Eat out at Sardi's, have parties at Spy. I want to be famous. Go to Paris on private flights.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Now for a little comedy. You know, we got a chance to interview Doug Benson, who is, of course, the star of the Marijuana Logs, a great stand-up comic, and the host of the Pot's Greatest Hit CD. We also got a chance to interview Lee Allen last year. He's the producer of the Pot's Greatest Hit CD. And I love playing these clips here on the program. Really, the best stoner comedy CD out there so far. So I'll play a little clip from that today. Again, this is from Pot's Greatest Hits. Links to it at Normal Audio Stash.
For my birthday one year, this next guy bought me my first dugout. How practical. I'm going to use it right now. This is my good friend Brian Posehn.
I've been trying to quit pot. no, I haven't. When I wrote this joke, I was trying to quit pot. Quitting pot is fucking hard, man, because it's awesome, for one thing. It's a lot of fun. It's actually easier to become a vegetarian, you know, quitting meat, because your friends never show up at your house with, like, a sack of beef. Going, dude, twist up a link, Star Trek's on. Let's get all full of sausage and laugh. Ew? You hate sausage, lady? That's weird. Most ladies love sausage, right, guys? Shut up. I'm so hacky, bitch. I gotta quit smoking pot, though, because I can't write material when I'm high. I always think I wrote the most genius joke of my life. And every morning, no fail, I'm looking at a cocktail napkin that says chicken monkey. What the fuck? Chicken monkey? Calling all my friends. Dude, what was the chicken monkey thing? I don't remember, man, but we were fucking crying. You should write that shit down, bro. I think this is going to be a good record because there's a lot of funny guys doing bits tonight. But, you know, it's really for people that smoke pot. You know, pot humor isn't for people that don't smoke pot. And I can just picture, like, a year from now, some girlfriend hating us because her boyfriend's a total fucking stoner and she's never smoked weed in her life, and she's just like, yes, I heard that one. It wasn't funny 40 times ago. I know Doug Benson is God in your eyes, but no, God, I want a divorce. You guys have been very cool, man. Thanks a lot.
Comedy from Pot's Greatest Hits, and Doug Benson and Lee Allen have appeared right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Links to that CD-DVD combo available right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Stay tuned, a quick mix of pod-safe music for your weekend listening coming up next.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
We have really had an amazing year this year of music on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. We brought you live concert audio from the Austin Freedom Fest and Willie Nelson down there in Austin, Texas last summer. We brought you live event audio from the Boston Freedom Rally. A lot of music from up there. Some of the guests that have appeared on the program, Sendog from Cypress Hill, Soja, Soldiers of Jah Army. Of course, the Cottonmouth Kings and guys like Potluck here on the program as well. Ominous Words. Really, music has been a very important part of this broadcast, as it will continue to be as Normal's Daily Audio Stash moves forward. And I really have enjoyed going through podshow.com and the Independent Online Distribution Alliance and looking out there for all the tunes here in the podcast. So here's a nice little mix for our Friday stash. And again on Monday, Russ Belville starts out as the new Audio Stash host, back to the Monday through Friday format with Normal News coming out each Friday as well as a separate podcast. Let's get out of here with our pod-safe music mix.
Selecta, run the beat.
Life is a struggle.
Check, turn my road. Check, boy. Yeah. Is a struggle. 1, 2, come on. Jack, die, run the bee.
Life is a struggle.
Boy, yeah. Jack.
Did I mention my salary makes a lot of motherfuckers mad at me? My strategy, making sure you can't harass me. I'm telling you, G, you better off riding the bench. What I do to my opponents, it don't make sense. You on the defense for 90 fucking minutes. Meanwhile, my style is officially wild. You need to realize we see the real lies. That's why them never want to read legalize.
Sits in his 37th floor suite and swivels to gaze down at the city he made me in. He allows me to stand and solicit graffiti until he needs the land I stand on and eyeing my darkened threshold and pawing through my pockets. The receipts, the bus schedules, urgent napkin poems, and matchbook phone numbers, all of which laundering has rendered pulpy and strange. Loose change in a key. Ask me. Go ahead. Ask me if I care. I got the answer here. I wrote it down somewhere. I just gotta find it. And somebody in their spray paint got too close. Somebody came on too heavy. Now look at me, mad ugly by the drooling letters. I was better off alone. Ain't that the way it is? They don't know the first thing, but you don't know that till they take the first swing. My fingers are red and swollen from the cold. I'm getting bold in my old age. So go ahead. Try the door, it doesn't matter no more. No, the weak hearted are strong willed, and we're being kept alive until we're killed. He's up there, the ice is clinking in his glass. He sends us little pieces of paper. I don't ask, I just empty my pockets and wait. It's not fate, it's just circumstance. I don't fool myself with romance. I just live phone number, dusting them against my thighs and the warmth of my pockets, which whisper history incessantly, asking me, where were you? I lower my eyes, wishing I could cry more and care less. Yes, it's true. I was trying to love someone again. I was caught carrying, bearing weight, but I love this city, this state, this country is too large, and who's ever in charge of there better take the elevator down and put more than change in our cup, or else we are coming up.
Yo, J Swift, man, them a talk about the passing me by. Me a talk about the get high, respect to the far side. Me say me come with the Cali. Good day. So this is not the dreddy. Me come with the galley. Me dip, me dolly with the gal Sally. Cause Sally like to smoke a blunt in the morning before the sun start rise and yawning. Cause that is the time for the boom mind. That's the best time for the get high. So grab your button, grab your bowl and grab your paper. Give me the sock and what me see you later. You have to watch out for the player hater. You mess around, you get served like a waiter. No, the natty dread days, me never in a rage. Me bun the herb and the sage. Cause that is the time, me take a link on lift. Me kick it by myself and me smoke me spliff. Me thank him for the gift, me thank him for the stock. Mic in my hand and the words for talk. So legalize it, legalize it. And this is natty dread me add. But I ain't sit to the same upon the TV. So with a big spliff, 1-800 man, so take a lift, sing. Feel sad, but when me get me big bag, me get glad. Buy it upon the street, man, you get hard. Crumble the herb since me was a lad. And me nah quit like me spliff. Take one draw, take a little hit. Bust two shot if you're down with it. You get the munchies, but you still love it. Me down with the girl who know if you roll it. You have the good herb, then you bowl it. So don't talk bad about the herb. Don't put a man in jail for the herb. Man, them smoke herb round the world. It bring good vibes to all the girls. So keep your liquor, keep your coke, and keep your hero. You lose your life and you lose your dinero. This not the dread day, me coming in the stereo. Me move my herb, man, pan the low, low. The blunt lit, so me half a go, go. Yeah. Smoke the crown
panic and them smoke the tie. Smoke the stress, them puff on the line. No, I call the board not go pass me by. Because me love the high. Remember the first time you take a hit. Remember the first time you get lit. Remember the first time you did a cough. Remember the first time you did a laugh. It was a sunny day. The girls then they pass my way, but I had a big, big spliff, so they decided to stay. Wah, for me say some girl over, power and money, my girl over, herb and honey. Some girl over, diamonds and gold, my girl love when the herb a roll. Cause they make me feel right, especially in the night. So girl, make we turn off the light, light a candle and hold your so tight, yeah.
Listening to Pod Safe Music on Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Now it's time for our wrap up. Let's give it everything we've got. Ready? Begin.
Artificial amateurs aren't it all amazing? Analytically, I assault, animate things. Broken barriers bounded by the bomb beat. Buildings are broken, basically I'm bombarding. Casually create catastrophes, casualties, canceling cats got the canopies collapsing. Detonate a dime a tank, daily doing dope. Demonstrations, Don Dada on the down low. Eating other editors with each and every energetic, epileptic episode, elevated etiquette. Furious, fat, fabulous, fantastic. Flurries of funk, felt feeding the fanatics. Gift got great, global goods gone glorious. Getting godly in this game with the glorious. Hit 'em high, hella hype, historical. Hey, Holocaust hymns, hear 'em holler at your homeboy. Imitators idolize, I intimidate. In an instant, I'll rise in an irate state. Juiced on my jams like Jerry Curl's jocking joints. Justly, it's just me writing my journals. Kindly, I'm kindling all kinds of King Kong. Karate kick type Ritz in my kingdom. Let me live a long life. Lyrically, lessons is learned. Lame louses just lose to my leverage. My mind makes marvelous moves, master. Marvel and move, many mock what I've mastered. Niggas nap knowing I'm nice naturally. Knack never lack, make noise nationally. Operation opposition off, not optional. Out of sight, out of mind, widening opticals. Perfective poems, powerful punchlines. Pummeling, petty powder puffs in my primes. White quaint close, keep quiet as quantum. Quarrelers ain't got a quarter of what we gotta. Really raw raps, rising up rapidly. Riding the rushing radio activity. Super scientifical, sound search thought. Silencing stupefied saps that are soft. Tails 10 times, challenge it too tough. Take that, challengers, get a tune up. Universal, unique, untouched, unadulterated, the raw, uncut, verb by smart, victorious, valid, violate vibes that are vain, make them vanish, while I'm all well, what a wise wordsmith, just weaving up words, weeded up on my work shift, Xerox, my X-radiation goes extra large, X-height letters, xylophone tones, yellow back, neck, mouth, young ones, yawns, yesterday's lawn yard, cell, I yawn, zigzag, zombie, zoom into the zenith, zero wins and thoughts over zealous, rhyme, Z-Lot.
Good. Can you say it faster?
Our music mix here on our Friday Stash links to all the artists we play right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Again, folks, I want to thank all of you for listening here to Normal's Daily Audio Stash and interacting with us here at Normal and me personally. It really has been the best broadcasting experience in my career. And through this experience, my own beliefs in the ability for this issue to change and change fundamentally for the entire country, for the betterment of the entire nation, has been redoubled. Speaking with all of the activists and organizers, scientists, doctors, elected officials in this country who are working on the issue today only makes me feel that we are so close to reform. We all need to do our part to make it happen. Thanks for doing your part by listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash and staying informed. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Tune in Monday, Normal's Daily Audio Stash begins with its new host, Russ Belville of Portland, Oregon. More information about Russ right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Everyone, have a wonderful weekend. Listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about everyday's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.
Let's do something good tonight.
Whether on a train, plane, ferry, or automobile, these days I'm never far removed from listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash and weekly news on my computer or iPod. Where else in the world can folks listen to up-to-date information produced specifically for cannabis consumers? This is Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre, and Normal is growing the truth about cannabis, and the harvest is yours to reap. Tune in every day at 4:20 p.m. for your daily audio stash. Get hooked up with Normal's daily and weekly news podcast by visiting normal.org or normalaudiostash.com.